This is the Universal Wrestling Podcast. Inside the ring.
Outside the ring.
It's all here.
We're talking about the greatest sport of all, professional wrestling.
Come on.
And now, here's Nick and Keith.
Welcome back to the Universal Wrestling Podcast. My name is Nick, his name is Keith, and we are back. Back-to-back weeks, Keith. No WrestleMania excuses anymore.
Yeah.
We are back, baby, and we are talking some wrestling. A lot of things have happened, good and bad. But what's up, man? How are you? How you doing, buddy?
You know it. Same old, same old. I'm in the midst of a long work week. I work Sunday, and then I work Monday through Friday, which is always a big old slog. I was like halfway through the workday today. I was like, oof, it's only Tuesday. Yeah. Yikes.
Only Tuesday.
But living the dream anyway.
Living the dream one day at a time.
Exactly.
Let's talk some wrestling news. That's what we're here
to do.
We're talking some wrestling. And let's just start with it. Let's just get the bad news out of the way. And Wade Barrett, we've got some bad news. I guess I shouldn't be so happy about it. I'm not really happy or excited.
It's a weird one.
Yep. So as you may know, so far in 2024, WWE has started to, release superstars at a certain time. Usually it's around this time, right? After WrestleMania, right?
They do a little bit of housekeeping.
You want pillow?
Housekeeping?
Go away.
Please go away. Let me sleep for the love of God.
Let's get to it. I mean, let's start with the big names, Jinder Mahal, Cameron Grimes. I mean, this happens, it's business, but it's sad to see when you know they have so much potential and maybe they didn't get the chance to show it. I mean, yes, Jinder is a champion. Yes, Jinder had his time in NXT, had his time against Randy, beat Randy for the title. I mean, it's a big deal to just be champion, but to beat Randy and then also have the great Khali help him win the title.
Yeah.
Maybe not there, but help him retain.
I
was at that match. It was
Punjabi prison, baby.
That was awful, but let's hear it, man. What do you got with? You can name more names if you want, but those are the
So it was it was seven in total. So it was Jinder, Veer, and Sangha, Xia Li, Zion Quinn, Von Wagner, and then did I say him already? So yeah, Xia Li, Veer, Sangha, Zion Quinn, Von Wagner, Jinder, and then Cameron Grimes dropped today. That one was really heartbreaking. I like opened my phone mid work. And we're just like, what's going on Instagram? And oh man, in tears, just like destroyed. Jinder specifically, I mean, you're never happy to see anybody get cut.
No.
Clearly, at all. Jinder's like a strange one because I feel like Jinder's been there forever. Like looking into like everything for like talking about it tonight, like Jinder started in FCW in 2010.
Jeez.
And he was there. He was 2010 in FCW. He started on the main roster as like Khali's like handler in 2011. He was released in 2012, came back in 2016. And then it's been 2016 to now is where he's, you know, been, it's been the whole time.
Yeah.
Crazy ups and downs, 3MB before he got released. And, you know, the weird, he was the man of peace for like 6 months when he first came back. Everyone was like, what the hell? And then it was like, oh, by the way, I'm the champion now out of nowhere.
Yeah.
That was like weird, a very weird career trajectory for him.
Well, even at the very end of his career, he had that title match against Seth. It's like,
came back out of nowhere for out of nowhere. They're just like, hey, by the way, you haven't been on TV in like 6 months. Here, get in the ring, do a promo off with The Rock.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah, they don't just give that away like candy. Like,
right?
It's got to go to someone like that who's a veteran.
I'm really like now back originally when he was first there and then got released and everything. I wasn't like regularly watching them. That was like during my time away, so I didn't really get to pay attention to what he did like on his little indie run he did between getting released and coming back. Now with everything that's happened since that comeback and being released now, I'm really curious to see where he goes. I was mentioning to you right before we started here today, apparently GCW is like, the quote that I saw Brett Lauderdale said is he's foaming at the mouth to sign and work with Jinder in GCW.
Okay.
I mean, because it's as much as we, you know, we'll ridicule it, we can make fun of it if we want, but like, it's a former WWE champion going on the free agency market. Yeah. People are gonna want him. People are gonna want to have him booked. He's gonna do some cool stuff. I mean,
yeah.
Look at Cardona, dude. Cardona wasn't even a world champion, and look at the complete turnaround that he's had in his career. Like, I'm hoping for the same for Jinder, because the dude's put the work in, and I'm curious to see where he's gonna go with things.
And we have to tread lightly too on this subject, just because, like, I'll bring it up. Von Wagner, he has the look. It's just, I don't think he had it. It's kind of like that Olympian that came in. I forget his name, but he just doesn't.
Thiebson. I think he's still there.
Which
is weird. Which that's
we're gonna
get back to that point of it too, because, you know,
again, tread lightly. We understand
people
have been fired, have been released. We get that. It's just, when you look at it as a podcaster and as a wrestling fan that, you know, lives and breathes this, it's like, okay, well, I can understand that, and it's sad. It really is. But Von Wagner just, I guess, didn't have it. I mean, for me, I don't know what to think. I mean, I
don't want to
say something rude, but I don't think he had it either. But
that's like where the tough thing with this all comes into. So, like, with all the stuff I was reading about it, it was like, because if there's one positive to come out of all this, one of the things I was reading about was that with the first, because this kind of happened in like waves. Like, it was like it was Zaya, Veer Sangha, Zion Quinn, and Jinder were like one shot the one day, and then like the next day it was Von Wagner, and then it was like that happened like on, I think, either Monday or Sunday. And then today it was like Von Wagner, I woke up and saw that. And then like Cameron Grimes was this afternoon. Like, it's just been coming like sort of in waves. So who knows if there's going to be more coming or not. But the positive thing that came out of it is, like, they were saying with that first chunk that happened, it was like a better like release experience. Like, in the past, they were saying like it would be like, you know, Johnny Ace or whoever, Carano, whoever it was, would just call and be like, hey, we're done with you. Sorry, bye. Basically, like, real kind of cold, calculated, bunch of cuts, blah, blah, blah. This one, they were just like, it was a lot more of like a welcoming thing. Not welcoming, you know what I mean? Like, a less cold sort of transaction of it all. But the reason they were given, so like internally, they're saying it was budget cuts. They always do. But then, like, they were saying, like, outlets and stuff, it was like the people that were released, their trajectory didn't match their experience level within the company. Which, like, I don't really get that for Jinder, because Jinder's been there for a long time, and he's like, you know, he could have been, if he had been on TV more, I imagine he would have been a perfect shoe-in for a Duder Award one of these years. Like, put him in whatever he can fit in there. but my big thing I was saying is, like, I get that reasoning of, like, their trajectory didn't match, like, their experience or whatever, experience level within the company. And I get that for some of them, like your Zion Quinns and like your Von Wagner, who are like, they had the look, but it was like, I feel like so much of this is just a thing of, like, they all just suffered from, like, the time they were kind of brought up. Again, Jinder aside, because, like, Jinder's been whatever, but, like, Zion and Von Wagner are, like, they are, like, to a T, your, you know, head of the company we shouldn't talk about anymore currently because of allegations. They're his, like, ideal people he wants. The look, the, you know, big, the tall, muscles, you know, everything. They're his to a T. And, like, that's why I feel like when Zion Quinn got called up, I was like, wow. Really? Because, like, he was only in NXT for, like, so he got signed in 2018, but I don't remember seeing him, like, in any kind of significant way on NXT TV until, like, 2021-ish. Like, he was there probably doing, like, dark matches and stuff and other things, but, like, I don't remember him having anything major on TV in NXT until, like, 21. Yeah. And then he got called up last year, and it was just like, he didn't even have a lot going on from an NXT, and then he got called up. It was like, that's really random.
Yeah.
Von, it seemed like they had more of a plan with, he was doing the stuff with Robert Stone and everything. But I just feel like it's like, specifically with people like Cameron Grimes and Xia Li, Cameron Grimes was, anybody who watched NXT when he was down on NXT, he was fantastic. He was one of my favorite parts of NXT at the time. Even before he became the richest man in NXT with the Bitcoin stuff and everything, he was just... The guy is just fun on the mic.
Yeah.
He's just fun on the microphone. And then, like, having the character of the richest man in NXT with the Bitcoin and all, like, that was genius at that time. And then they called him up, and none of that was ever touched on or mentioned or anything at all.
Yeah.
It was just like, Yeah, they didn't do. He didn't have a character either. They were just like, "This is Cameron Grimes from NXT. Now he's here, and here he is in a match." It was like it was very, very much like when they first brought Ty Dillinger up back in the day, where it was just like he was getting over in NXT, so we're going to bring him up because he's over, but we're not going to explain or do anything with it. We're just going to bring him out here and have squash matches, and we'll hope for the best. And it's like, well, no, like.
Yeah.
The biggest reason Grimes was over is because he was such a character, and then they didn't do anything with it. Like, I feel like, so him and like, I feel like he suffered a lot of it being like, being called up in one era, and then that era not doing the right things, and then coming into this new era where like they would want to do stuff, but he's already, they're already screwed from here that they can't do anything here.
Yeah. Anymore. You know what's weird too? I mean, it's not weird. I guess it's kind of normal. But with the other regime, you would know because they would post it on X. They would post it on Twitter. I don't think we got that. I don't think we got Cameron Grimes has been released. Have, you know, great future endeavors, kid, blah, blah, blah. We didn't get that. So I think that's it's nice because who wants that plastered all over X after getting released? You know, you want, you know, for instance, Grimes, I think that was the first time we heard anything about him being released.
Yeah, and, that's how I found out.
For a shitty situation, it's nice to hear it from him and not have, you know, future endeavors, kid, you know, better luck next time. So if there's any kind of positive here, it's a lot of what you said. It's A, GCW's there, ECW, Jesus, AEW. I mean, just indies. You can go to even New Japan.
Right.
Wrestling. Yeah. Peter Mahal would be just a star in New Japan. I mean, even Von Wagner with his look and his style and him being American, that would do. He would do so much better in New Japan. So yes, it's the end of the road for them with the WWE for now. But positive is, it's booming, baby.
And always come back.
It's, business is booming. It ain't because of Roman. It ain't because of Cody. It's just because everybody is – maybe that's a spark. Maybe Trips was a spark to the boom in the business. But, I mean, look at the banger we got Sunday night with Danielson and Ospreay. I mean, and then even TNA, I mean, how many user returns were there? So business is booming. I hate saying this, but they're going to be okay. They're going to find better outcomes and better avenues and probably better companies to help them, I don't even know what I'm saying, but
help them get it back. I mean, it's like I was saying in the beginning there. I mean, it's their time to pull like the Cardona, you know, like I remember. I think it was whenever it was, I think a year or two after he was released, he put a thing up like on the anniversary of him getting released and just being like, I remember this day, like I was devastated, but I made the decision that day to just, you know, start doing the work and start all over. And like, you know,
And that's another thing.
He's completely reinvented himself, you know, especially for someone like, obviously like any of them can do whatever at this point, but like, especially for someone like a Jinder, like,
yeah,
you know, you've been forced to be more or less forced to be this, like, you know, the guy. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying Ginger's not Indian. He is and everything. But like, he's also he was born and raised in Canada. Like from being in NXT, you are from being in WWE, like you've never had a chance to be anything but like the India guy, heel, whatever that way. Yeah. And if that was what if that was his idea and everything, cool. Maybe that's what he continues doing. But like, if you want to do anything else, dude, you can now. The world is literally your friggin' oyster. You do whatever you want. You can be whoever you want to be.
I don't think that's an issue when it comes to his character. I mean, that's just what he was in the WWE. I mean, it's, you know, they characterized him. They do that often. They do that with a lot of different people. It's just that's what happens. And now, like you said, he can be whatever he wants to be, and he's going to do very well. The only thing I had an issue with is Cameron Grimes put in the work, got to the main roster, lost the weight, looked ripped, did what they wanted him to do. If they wanted to, I think they wanted him to cut his hair or something.
Yeah, he cut his hair when he came up.
Yeah. And they didn't really do much. Maybe it's just he slipped through the regime change. You know, maybe Trips now has to focus more on everything instead of just not his guys, but like those guys from NXT. Now he has to focus on the entire creative, you know, PLEs, the Titan Tribe, you know, what this looks like, what that looks like. So maybe that's what happened. Maybe he just, you know, budget cuts, yes, but you can also understand how that's a bunch of bullshit when they're, you know, the second most successful wrestling slash UFC, whatever they call it in the in-betweener company. And I don't know. Well, I get it, but I don't, you know?
The budget cut thing is always tough to hear when it's like, you know, oh, there's budget cuts. We got to release you for this in the one ear. And then on the other ear, we're reading everything on the dirt sheets where like Matt Hardy showed up at Rebellion, was it? The TNA pay-per-view this weekend. Like he showed up there for it, but he like was very clear afterwards being like, this is a one-off. I'm still a free agent because he's totally trying to get back to the WWE. And like they've definitely been in talks. So it's like,
yeah.
And I understand, you know, the drawing power of the people is like, what is going to, you know, ultimately make the decision. You can spend more money if you're going to make more money and all, but like, you know, it's all just stuff we can talk ourselves back in circles with, because it's like, you could have made a bunch of money off Cameron Grimes if he didn't drop the ball to begin with when you brought him up and not do anything at all with who he was in NXT. Yeah. You know,
well, and they had the most successful WrestleMania of all time.
Right.
What the hell? You know, but again, circle back, go back, backtrack.
It's all exactly. It can all just feed itself and it all goes round and round and round.
All right. Well, let's up the mood a little. Again, we understand it's a business.
Best of luck to literally all of them. I hope all of them go out and crush it now. Sangha, especially. That was one I wanted to mention, too. That was super underrated. Someone, anybody who's watching this that thinks I'm wrong in that, go back and watch the very, 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 very brief run that Sangha had as a solo guy in NXT. He was like Grayson Waller's bodyguard for a minute, and then he had a character of like being like this at-peace man who was just a big, beefy bad boy. And he was decent. He was decent in the ring, like way better than you would think he would be. And then they were like, wait, you're Indian, you're with Veer again, and now just yell and throw people. And it was like, all right, well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Let's get to the next topic here, Keith. Becky Lynch wins the vacant WWE Women's World Championship, and she becomes the 7-time champion. And Keith, I've said it for a long time, and I guess it kind of makes sense because I've said it so long that it's going to obviously happen. But what I said is that title is hers when she wants it, and it happened. She won the Battle Royale on Monday Night Raw, which was really cool. You don't get to see that often. You know, of course, the IWC and, you know, the trolls around. There's, you know, always an issue with something. Well, that's not a big enough stakes. It's awesome. It was cool to see a title change hands, or not change hands, but someone win the title on Monday Night Raw. I'm all for it. I get the reasoning. I understand why it's Becky Lynch and why it wasn't Liv, why it wasn't someone else. Becky Lynch is, I don't want to say the man, but she is that person that they can fall back on, that they can say, okay, we don't really need to write 3 or 4 months of script and have everything pre-planned. We can put her as a champion and she can shine. She can talk on the mic. She can do it in the ring. And, you know, we'll, you know, take the time to build the script, build the storyline. And then when it's time, we can have something like that. But if you're in a pickle, who do you give it to? You give it to Becky. If you're in a pickle, who do you give it to? Seth. Those two people are mainstays. Those are current WWE Mount Rushmores, if you would like to say, from 20-whatever to 2024. Currently, not overall, but we're not getting into that. I loved it. I thought it was a great move. I also thought it was a great move to see the Battle Royale and see everybody, you know, try to get their, you know, their spotlight, try to get in and trying to show how they can you know, be a challenger for Becky. But I love it, man. I do. I think Becky is the one. What do you got? Let's hear it.
I didn't like it that much. I'll be honest.
Let's hear it.
Like, I mean, it's tough because, like, obviously you don't know at WrestleMania that Rhea's going to hurt her arm in 2 weeks or whatever. But it's like, you know, it's like, well, she lost at Mania. It feels very Moxley in AEW, where like when all the stuff was the back and forth with the interim, and then he wasn't, and then he was, and then he wasn't again, and it was an interim and whatever, and all that was going on. There was a point in that where it was like Moxley's about to take some time off, and then it was after the interim stuff when Punk won both of them. And they're like, Moxley's scheduled to take a good chunk of time off, so like recover and everything, and then Punk jumped into the crowd and broke his foot, and they're like, Moxley was like, all right, well, I guess I'm coming back in. Because everything leading up before this was they were saying Becky and Seth are both to take some time off because Becky's got to promote her book. Seth's I think Seth just got surgery like a day or two ago or whatever. So like they were supposed to take time off to recover and now they're tapping her to do this.
Yeah.
I get it. It's no hate toward Becky.
No.
She's great. She's the man. All of that. Like, it's great. But like, I don't know. I feel like I'm curious to see where they're going to go with it because there's still places they can do things with it. Yeah. I was in the camp of just like, well, just give it to Liv and then let Liv hold it until Rhea comes back and have her and Rhea just go to war. But I did see someone pointed out online, like Liv and Becky had a little bit of a thing going on before Becky, you know, was officially taken on Rhea at Mania and all. So like, yeah. I guess there's some of it there. You give it to Becky, let Becky have a little bit of a run. She's a 7-time champ now. She gets another notch in the belt and then, you know, have Liv take it from her and then Liv holds it until, you know, Mania next year or whatever. And then Rhea comes back the conquering hero and takes it over from her or something. You know, there's stuff around it. I don't know. I think it's just like, I know, like I said, you can't predict that Rhea's going to get hurt 2 weeks after Mania. No. But it's like, it's just a weird thing that it's like, well, Becky just lost at Mania. She's supposed to go away, but now she just won it and is the champion again. And it's like, I would have rather someone new, but
yeah,
it's fine. It's fine. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, and I think that I'm with you on that. As much as I said it, you know, from every stream, that title's hers whenever she wants it.
And, right.
You know, she has it. I think you got to look at the resilience. I think you got to look at someone that's, you know, she knows what she's doing. She doesn't need someone to tell her, stand there, stand here, go out there 10 minutes. No, not over 10. You're good there. Get out. She knows what she's doing. It's a safe bet. As much as it doesn't make sense because, like, Liv injured Rhea, and now where's Liv? What happened to her? Like, make that into a story. But no.
Right.
There's something. There's something with Liv that they don't see. I mean, I don't see it. I think she could do it. She's done it.
Yeah, I don't see what they don't see.
But they have to because they have to see something that they're just like, not yet. Just like the whole thing with the Duder. Not going to win the title, but Gable. Yeah, the Duder.
I got you.
I'm confused now. Okay. yes, so they didn't see anything. They see something in him because now he has a full-fledged storyline with Sammy.
Right.
And they just – maybe it wasn't the moment or the time. So safe bets, Becky. Yeah, I mean, I'm all for it. It's just like you said, what are you going to do?
It's fine, but I feel like it could have been more. Like there could have been more, but it works. It's fine. Yeah. So it's fine.
Yes, sir. Keith, let's get to the next topic here. And I want to show a graphic because I think this is pretty neat. There we go. Two-night extravaganza, the WWE draft. It's going to be on Friday and it's going to be on Monday. And what I think is really cool here is it seems different already. The logo is different. There's blue for SmackDown. There's red for Raw. And don't forget that little line that is yellow.
NXT so notch.
It just seems like it's going to be different. And that's the topic here. What do you want to see out of the WWE draft? I know we've seen a lot in the past where it's similar to the NFL and it's similar to other sports drafts, but this is the WWE. It should be a little different. If I'm going to just rattle off one thing, and I don't know if it's going to happen, but this seems like a Vince idea. And I just think, I don't know if I can see Trips doing this, but to have a match to get a draft pick, just please get rid of that. It doesn't have to be, you know, David Akers coming out and just F the Cowboys, and the Eagles are half the first pick in the draft. Like, it doesn't need to be Teddy Long coming out, holla, 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 SmackDown has this draft, and then, you know, the past GMs, EC McFoley, EC Steph, Paul Heyman.
Right.
I want it to be different, but I don't want it to be so different where it's just like, I don't get it. And it's just too much like the NFL, or I think that's really it. I mean, MLB does it, but it's like really blah. But what do you want to see out of the what do you expect to see out of the draft? And it doesn't have to be what I named, like, you know.
Mm-hmm. No.
I
want and I expect one simple thing from the draft. whoever can be drafted, whoever, wherever, call-ups, call-downs, whatever. All that is fine. The only thing that I want and I'm really expecting to see, and I'm probably setting myself up for disappointment, yeah, but
Cody's going to get drafted.
I want, if you're going to have a draft, if you're making a big deal about a draft, a two-night extravaganza, the new symbol, make the thing matter. Like, make it matter. If we're going to have a draft, if we're going to push this two-night event, then I don't want to see if Cody is going to be drafted. Cody's whatever. The world title, the Cody's title is SmackDown now, right? Great.
Yes. Cool.
If we are drafting Cody to SmackDown, Cody only shows up on SmackDown then. That's it. If he is drafted there, he stays there. That's the point of a draft.
Yeah. Like,
we drafted Jalen Hurts. That doesn't mean that, all right, well, Jalen's going to start two games this year, and then again week three, and he's going to go over to the Seahawks, and he's going to hang out there for like the next 2 weeks. That's not how the draft works. You draft your pick. The pick stays where it's drafted.
Yeah.
You know, none of this, like, what was it? The wild card rule crap. Like,
Jesus.
Just if you just make the draft matter. And I'm not saying we got to go back to the way it was. I don't want 100 pay-per-views this year where it's like, this is SmackDown's roadblock. And then next month is Raw's friggin' shoelaces.
Cockblock.
Whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want all of that either. That's fine. But like
Keith,
you know, it makes, if you're having the draft, make the draft matter. Then you can use those things too, where like Survivor Series, War Games is the big one now, but that's like cool. You can also have Survivor Series be, and literally be what like they've been trying to push for the last, like from the time the draft came back, like the only time of the year that Raw and SmackDown superstars interact. Like, well, no, it's not if Cody's on SmackDown and he's showing up on Raw every week too. Like, sorry, people who bought tickets for Raw in your city, you don't get to see Cody. My bad, but that's the way the draft fell.
Yeah.
Drive the 6 hours it's going to be for the next show on Friday to go see Cody if you want to. I don't know what to tell you. Oh, that really triggered me. But that's all it is. That's literally all I want. Just make it matter. It's like we talked about with the Andre the Memorial Battle Royal. Like, there's no point in having it if you're just going to make it this nonsense nothing that means nothing. So there's no point to have a draft and promote all this crap. I don't even remember who won this year either. But there's no point to having a draft if you're going to say, okay, well, with the third pick, SmackDown drafts Carmelo Hayes, and then 3 weeks from now, Carmelo's still showing up on NXT TV to mess around with Trick Williams. Like, you know.
Yeah.
So
that's unfortunately, I got some bad news.
Yeah, I'm not gonna be disappointed.
That's what it is. That's the WWE. That's why it's so difficult to have a draft and be so specific about what picks go where and why.
Then just don't do it.
Exactly.
What the hell?
They don't need it. It's a mess. B, it doesn't make any sense. It's just like, if he's SmackDown champion, why is he being drafted to SmackDown? You know, it doesn't make sense. But as WWE fans, we kind of just take it for what it is. And, you know, it is what it is, basically. But it does not make any sense. And it ruins it. It does. It ruins the whole brand split and the whole exclusive rights to having, you know, Cody only on SmackDown and the Usos only on Raw. And then, oh, well, Cody's in demand, so he needs to be on both. I mean, that's what he even brought it up. What, 2 weeks ago, he said something along the lines of, I have the SmackDown title, I'm on SmackDown, but Trips let me go come on Raw. And it's like, you just can't do it. You just can't do it. And I get it. We're really diving deep into this and we're doing what most people say don't do. Don't look too far into it. Well, it's hard not to when he's a SmackDown.
You're making us. It's hard to not look too far into it when you're making us by promoting this two night special extravaganza draft that ultimately isn't going to mean anything.
Yeah. Yep. So it is what it is. I'm excited to see everything, the difference. Maybe it's, you know, a different podium, or maybe they have a different setup on the Titan. Well, they don't have a Titantron anymore. It's just a ramp, or it's not even a ramp. You know,
the stage.
Maybe
screen.
They'll do something there. So I don't know, but it's fun just because A, it's something different, and B, because it's a new regime. You know, we see the new logo and we know it's going to be something that we can expect, that it's going to be good. It's going to be something that we want because of Trips. But, you know, at the end of the day, Trips doesn't always deliver, and that's okay. And it's kind of hard to deliver the draft. But let's get to the next topic here. It is your champion, Damian Priest. The topic is who we want to see him face. Who are the other challengers that we want to see him go one-on-one with? We know in France, it's going to be Jey Uso. And I think I want to take a step back and just look at who is champion. We've seen Seth, who has been the top guy for years, maybe even a decade, we could say. But to have someone like Damian Priest, to have someone that's always been that guy, maybe one day he's got the briefcase. Now we really think he has something. He's always been that mid-card guy. Yeah, throw him the tag titles. Yeah, throw him the briefcase. But to have someone like this be your champion, mm-hmm. It is so cool. It's so cool, yeah. Because it's an everyman. It's not Cody. It's not Roman. It's not Gunther. It's Damian Priest. It's the guy that we never thought could cash in on Seth or Roman. He cashed in on Drew, but still, Drew's a big name, and it was a big moment at WrestleMania. So just to have this everyman, this guy that we can pull for, and now that he's champion, his challengers are not going to be Cody. It's not going to be Roman. It's going to be Hookie. Right. Other contenders we mm-hmm. want to see that we don't get this. When's the last time you could say we had someone like a Damian Priest as a champion? That kind of I don't want to say mid-carder, but that kind of superstar that we can relate to. Yeah, we can relate to the DBs, but DB was a huge name. We can relate
to that was a different Punk. Yeah,
you know, there's a lot of things that you want to see out of a champion.
Maybe Balor when he was Universal Champion for a night.
Yeah, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah,
it's cool because we're going to see not mid-carders, but we're going to see the guys that we thought that we knew could take this title. And I'm excited. The promo on Raw started off a little slow, but when Jey got into it with Damian, they really got going. And, you know, mm-hmm. Damian told a story about how they got drunk one night and they both said, hey, you know, one day we're going to be here. And Jey said, you know, we're here. And then Damian, of course, said, well, I'm here. I'm the champion. You're facing me. Really exactly. Cool things. I just talked for 7 minutes. Let's hear it. These kind of everyman guys, these guys that we want so much to do exactly what they're doing, is going to get the chance, Keith. And it's awesome. Let's hear it.
Yeah, no, it's great. I'm hoping for, like you said, like I'm hoping that the heavyweight title gets to be what Seth like kind of said it was going to be when Roman was holding the big ones before, where it's like it's the workhorse like world title. Like I don't want to see like Cody go away and be like not around as much as like Roman was and stuff, but like I don't want to see that belt defended as like often as like, you know, and a Raw with like Priest versus Balor. Mm-hmm. I would love to see that. I want to see that feud happen eventually. That's a little bit down the line. You know, but like have Priest and like mid-card guys, like, you know what I mean? Like have those ones where like you're pretty sure they're probably not going to win it, but like have him just to make him look dominant and, you know, solidify the reign a little bit more. I mean, obviously I would really love, especially all circumstances aside, I want to see Gunther challenge for it. Like he doesn't have a belt anymore. Yeah.
Don't say shoulders
looking a little cold, but definitely want to see Gunther up there.
But it's like your guys, you know, like the Bronson Reeds, like those types of guys that you love, like that we love, like to see them have this opportunity and we can believe it. I can believe Reed can beat Priest.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it helps give them stages where it's like you can keep, you know, like it's good. It's always good having a heel champion. Now, I don't want these like kind of – I don't want defenses to go this way like immediately because he needs to like build a little bit of credibility behind him and stuff. But like, you know, Priest is a heel. Like it's good having that where you can have a – you can have Bronson Reed challenge him and have him retain. But you have it be something where you know, he uses the ropes, yeah. or, you know, Balor holds his feet down or something, you know, he hits, the South of Heaven right near the ropes. Finn holds his foot so he can't kick out, and Priest retains there. Like, he probably would have anyway, but like, Priest kept the foot down. So then Reed doesn't look weak in defeat, because it's, you know, Balor held the foot, but Priest also looks strong because he just beat a massive fucking dude.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And so I think it's, we don't have to say the exact people we want to see, but it's like the Breakers and the Reeds and the Balors, and maybe even see Dom. I mean, it's cool because it's something different, you know. Yes, the high stake matches with Roman and Cody to finish the story is what WrestleMania is all about. But to get these guys, like these guys that we rooted for, I know I've said it in the past, but I was such a mid-card guy back in the day. I loved my Sharon,
always
loved my Blackmans, I loved my Godfathers, and those guys when they got the title, if it was a hardcore or IC or European, like I don't know, I popped a little. Those are the guys that. In and out every day, just, you know, working. They won't get on WrestleMania. They won't get on Backlash, but they'll be the first hour of Raw or first hour of SmackDown. Yeah. It's just what you do, and you build to that, and Priest is there. I don't like looking too far into the future, but because I really want to see Priest just kill it on this run. But it is going to be fun when Drew is healthy, when Punk's healthy, when Seth is back, to see what really is going to happen, because we know there was a storyline there. We knew Punk was going to win. We knew Punk was probably going to beat Seth. So when everybody's healthy again, this title's fun, man. This title is just a lot, because it's not just about Seth and Punk. Drew's in the mix. Looks like Sheamus might be in the mix now. Damian Priest, let's see if he can put up or shut up. But it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm just excited for now and in the future. Bay, bay.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Keith, I'm in. Let's get to the next topic here. Gunther, last Monday, this week on Monday Night Raw, he came out and he did exactly what you expect from Gunther. He didn't complain. He didn't say, I slipped. My hands were too sweaty. My shoulders weren't down. He basically said, I lost, and I'm looking towards the future, and the future is that King of the Ring tournament. And that's just, if there's, you know, we know Gable's dude or number one for 2024, but Gunther's right there, man. To have someone like that, to have the balls to go out and say, basically, I messed up.
Mm-hmm.
I lost. No excuses, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do exactly what I did with the IC title, but for the King of the Ring tournament. And that's where I popped, just because I know he's going to do it. Xavier Woods, great story. Vega, great story. I love it. Mm-hmm. I understand it. It is what it is, but you need Gunther. You need Gunther to say, you know, exactly what Austin did with PS Hayes, you know, have that type of moment.
Right.
You
know? Yeah.
You know,
Gunther 417.
Yeah, like have something like that where bring the prestige. I know we always talk about Miz brought it back to the IC title, and Gunther did the same thing here.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're going to be realistic, Gunther really did a lot for that title. He really did.
No, as hell yeah.
As much as that title looks like shit, it could be the hardcore champion. That's how bad it could look. You know, it could look something so kiddish. It could be like the 24/7 title. But at the end of the day, the title didn't matter. It was what he did for the legacy of the actual men, and I was going to say women. Well, I guess women, China, but the men who wore that title. And it's going to be fun. Let's hear it, man. What did you think about Gunther? A, his promo. B, looking towards the King of the Ring tournament.
Yeah, no, he handled it well. It did what it needed to do, of just kind of showing that, like, you know, it's, he could have been the heel, you know, just meh, 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 it shouldn't have happened, blah, 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 like you said, you know.
Like a Drew.
Right. You know, like it's someone else's fault. It's this, it's that, it's the other, whatever. But no, he did it like his character would do it, of just being like, You know what? I'm glad that it did. Thanks for taking that, Sammy, because I was getting comfortable. Now I'm hungry again. Now there's no target on my back for it. So what I'm going to do instead is I'm coming for the King of the Ring. And I think it's great. As much as I know I just said I want him to go after the world title. And I do. I do want him to go after the world title, obviously. But, like, it's a good spot, at least right now, where, like, the whole reason King of the Ring is back is because, like, Triple H wants to try to bring King of the Ring back to what it was, like, it's to what it used to be when it, like, actually mattered. And I don't know if that means it's going to go back to being the world title and stuff like that. But, like, if you're trying to bring it back to being a big deal, Gunther's the guy you do it with in the men's division. God. You know, you have him just run roughshod through that tournament bracket. Let him just kill. Yep. And then when it gets to the end and they have the crown and the scepter, like you said, you do exactly like Austin did. Like, I joke Gunther 417, whatever. It doesn't have to be that. But have him go up there and stand there with, like, the robe and the crown and the scepter and just be like, get the fuck out of here. No way I'm putting that on there. Don't call me King Gunther. I'm the Ring General. I'm the Ring General. Like, I don't need a cape. I don't need a crown. I just needed to show all of you that I'm already the king of this ring. You know, don't call me King Gunther. That's not a thing. I don't want that. God, I'll be so mad if that happens. Like, that's nice he's the one you put it to, you know? King Gunther, oh my God.
Yeah, King Gunther. Yes, exactly. Do what Booker did. Just don't, you know, do what those types of legends did for that King of the Ring, for the crown, you know, for the legacy of it. Yes, it was funny, and yes, it was annoying how many times Shamel said King Bucca, but he got that gimmick over. He made it into an actual gimmick. He was actually called King Booker longer than
King Booker.
Whatever the reign of, what is it, like a year? I don't know, but he was King Booker for a long time. What I'm saying basically is he made it into something different. And it was fun, and it was really – it was a change. Booker T was serious, you know. Yes, he did his things with Goldust, but at the end of his career, he was King Booker, and that's what you want to do. You want to make it your own, and I think Gunther is that guy to do exactly – A, to make it his own, and B, to make it legit. I joked around that, and, you know, Woods and Vega was a – I didn't joke. I thought it was a happy moment. Let's just say that. Vega got her moment, and Woods got his moment, but – if it was a regime, if it was those two wrestlers not, you know, living up to the potential of a King of the Ring or a Queen of the Ring, you could say that too. But I think a new regime, and obviously Gunther, is just what the King of the Ring needed. Keith.
Yep.
Great episode, buddy. Thank you guys for tuning in. Keith, give the people what they want. How can they find you?
The people want to know that they're the best. If you can try to find me, you can find me on... What am I on? I'm on X, and I'm on TikTok at Keith of the Ring, and I'm on Instagram at _ Keith of the Ring.
Yes, sir. And you can find us on the Instagram at UW Podcast, X at the UW Pod, and Keith, we do have a fancy website. Go check it out. Videos, audio, bio about us. You know you want to read it, and much, much more. Thank you again for tuning in, and you can find us right here on the UW Pod. Peace.